Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number 3 of the early line is now officially underway right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Joe Ranieri, it's Sonny Wrightside. A lot of topics, a lot of fun to be had, and a lot of the same topics pop up. Why? Because that's what we do. The people are talking about it. We are going to respond. But the one thing, Joe, that we love to do is actually ask the public their opinion on what we're talking about. And no bigger story yesterday was Bronny James and LeBron James. Would they be able to team up for the Los Angeles Lakers and get that family wish that they've been asking for the past couple of years? And it happened. Pick number 55 came up. It was the Lakers, and it was Bronny James. So we were thinking at one point, Joe, that we were going to take a look and say, boy, the Lakers actually going to draft round number one Bronny James, or would there be a bidding war for some reason between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers that would cause the Lakers to say, we can't wait around at 55. We have to trade up and make sure we get Bronny James. But it was all said and done. Bronny James did get drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the question to the public out here in our Fade the Public poll at Sports Grid on our account is what? Did the Lakers make the right decision drafting Bronny James? If we are looking at the poll numbers now, 71% of the vote said no. Only 29% said yes. And by the way, that's through almost 250 votes. So it's not as if nobody cares about Bronny. That's a lot of votes coming in and a lot of people saying no, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, well, and that's because the public are extremely intelligent, Donnie. The viewers of this show have their finger on the pulse of what's real and what's not real because they saw that for what it is, pure nepotism. You're drafting and using a draft pick on a player that if he didn't have the same last name as LeBron, they would never, ever in a million years have considered taking him at all. But guess what? That's what runs the world, I guess. And Bronny James, congrats. You're a Laker. Does it help them win a championship this year? The answer is absolutely no. But when you're the 55th pick, the chance of you actually helping the team in any way, shape, or form that year is slim to none anyway. So I guess no harm, no foul, but they certainly had other options that they decided not to utilize. Instead, they went with Bronny. So good luck. See how that works out.
Now, this poll is decidedly for the no crowd that says they did not do the right thing by drafting Bronny James. Now, I actually, Joe, was part of the yes crowd in that 29% and said, how could you do that? You knew that isn't right. Well, I won a bet, so there, yes, it was absolutely the right decision for Bronny to go to the Lakers. Good and maybe point. The other 29% along with me going like, yeah, I don't really care about the basketball on the court. I just cared that I won a ticket. And yes, reading the tea leaves led you to believe Bronny James was going to be a Laker. Now, we brought up some of those fun markets at the FanDuel Sportsbook on what we anticipate for Bronny James in a Lakers uniform. But let me ask you this question, because it's not like, well, Bronny James wasn't LeBron James' son, would he get drafted? We're past that at this point. He's drafted, he is Bronny's son, and he's with the Lakers.
Yep.
Do you believe it would have been honestly better for Bronny James not to be drafted by the Lakers, and not because he wasn't going to be around his dad and be in Los Angeles, but just for the simple fact is, you know what? Your last name says James. Your nickname is Bronny at this point. Obviously, your dad is LeBron James. Would it be better for him, or also deep down, do you wish maybe he wasn't drafted by the Lakers and went somewhere else?
I mean, you have to think that his ability to detach from dad and dad's name and be his own, you know, be his own man, be his own player and carve out his own way. Yeah, that would be, I think, a little tough in the beginning, but it might just be exactly what this kid needs. I mean, listen, nobody's crying tears for him living in daddy's $90 million mansion and hanging out and getting drafted by the Lakers. All right. Kudos. I'm sure they celebrated. That's great. But the reality is they still have the right. They have an opportunity to do the right thing by Bronny. Forget LeBron. Bronny needs to go to the G League. They have the Lakers have a team in California. He needs to go there. He doesn't need to be on this roster on the bench to start the season. Let him go get the reps. Let him evolve as a player. Let him work on some things. And then when you think he's ready, bring him up. You still have the opportunity to do the right thing. If he's on this bench, Donnie, in game one, then you already know how this is going to end.
Like, and also, like, I understand, like, I come from this faction as well. Like, most sons who love their father are going to do anything they ask for. And if you're coming up next, hey, look, my dream, like, whose dream was it, actually? Was it LeBron James Jr.?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it LeBron James' dream to play with his son or his son's dream to play with his father in the NBA? Now, we'll never know, and rightfully so. It's a great family. They got a lot of money, and anybody in this circumstances would love this. But sometimes I look at this and equate it. A couple years back, if you remember, in college basketball, Patrick Baldwin Jr. was one of the best prospects in the country. The biggest teams, UNC, Duke, whoever it might be, wanted his services. And I used to get on the air a lot of flack for this by saying this situation isn't right because he stayed home and played for Milwaukee. Oh, that's awesome. He's playing for his dad. But sometimes I look at that saying, like, the father was about to be fired. The reason why he wasn't fired is because he sold the university. You keep me around. My son's a five-star. He's going to come to play for Milwaukee, not UCLA, not for Duke at this point. He saw that worked out. Patrick Baldwin didn't have a good year. He was injured. And the minute he decided to go pro, his dad was fired from Milwaukee. Now, granted, it's not the same circumstances that we can look at between these two. But sometimes I take a look and say, maybe deep down, was it best for Bronny not to go to USC and stay home where every night he was with his father? Maybe it would have been best if he played in the ACC 3,000 miles away from his parents at this point. Maybe it would be best to say, you know what? Dad's not around at practice here to give me tips and pointers here. I'm in it right now with the Miami Heat, and I got to survive on my own. So I don't know if it would have been different because we'll never know. But for myself, Joe, when I look at the situation, sometimes it's best just to put that kid in the best possible situation. And maybe the father thinks it's with him, but I don't know if it's for selfish reasons at this point, you know?
Yeah, and not to mention, what do you think other pros on the court are going to do to him every time they have a chance to go out after him? I mean, it's just you've put a mountain of pressure on this kid for no reason. I wish, honestly, I wish for him that it would have been a situation where he could have went back and played for a coach to develop his skills because Andy Enfield was not it. At USC, you alluded to it, Johnny. That was all about, you know, Enfield being a do-boy. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do this. And knock on wood, listen, that heart issue, I mean, must have scared the living daylights out of everybody there. Thank goodness he's healthy enough to be able to be in this spot here. But I feel like he lost a lot of valuable reps not being available to USC, and that entire situation was not conducive to learning. And that's what this kid needs at this point. He could turn into be a great 3-and-D player in the NBA, right? But throwing him into the fire, I don't think, is the best way to go about this. And the Lakers have an opportunity to let him learn, go to that G League, and then call him up at some particular point. I hope that's the route that they go here.
Now, hear me out on this. Like, I love a good conspiracy theory, and maybe we have one here. Bronny James placed in Los Angeles with LeBron James only for LeBron James to opt out of his contract and leave and say, this is what fathers do. I set myself, my kid up in the best possible situation. He needs to be in a big market in L.A. He's now there. He's signed. And now I'm going to be off on my own. Any chance for that, Joe Ranieri, to happen?
Yeah, well, there's always a chance. Let's face it here. Who knows? Could you imagine that LeBron's like, this team can't win the crap. I'm out of here. Good luck, Bronny. Enjoy, J.J. Redick. Have a good time. I'm out of here. I'm going to the Suns anyway. I wouldn't put anything past him at this point. It's a whole lot. The bottom line at the end of the day, it's a whole lot of fanfare over a 55th draft pick in the NBA. That is worse than Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL. That's down the list past Mr. Irrelevant.
Let me ask you a quick question here. Does Bronny James start one game for the Lakers this year? Just one? Does he ever get into the starting
Absolutely.
Lineup?
Absolutely. Absolutely, he will. I just hope it's not game one.
I knew you would say that. I knew you would say that because I have a feeling it's going to be one of those photo opportunities like a son and his dad in the starting lineup has never happened before. We're on the same page, Joe Ranieri. Major League Baseball next. Let's find you some winners out there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball, it's going to be a good weekend here, and on Friday, some of those weather conditions that we watch out for. Yeah, sure, there's going to be some rain in the forecast, but primarily we are in hitting weather season as we are approaching the month of July. Now, again, being a fan for myself of the Philadelphia Phillies, I'm actually scared to handicap the game today between the Marlins and the Phillies because I don't even know, it might be the Lehigh Iron Pigs out here, which is the Phillies affiliate, that might be playing this game tonight with how many injuries they have. But having said that, we'll handicap, we'll go over everything. Let's take a look here. First game we'll take a look at, 8:10 p.m. tonight. It's going to be Cleveland. It's going to be Kansas City. Tristan McKenzie is on the mound for the Guardians. Marsh on the mound for Kansas City. And you might be looking at this number going like, man, Cleveland's one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. They can beat anybody. And a de facto pick 'em, which live at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, is a -118 price. A total that's listed at 9.5. McKenzie hasn't been that great this season. One of those pitchers I love to fade. So, Joe, will you be fading McKenzie today? Or are you taking a look saying, boy, I'm getting an unbelievable price on those Guardians? I'll just take them at any price at this point right now. Who cares who's on the mound?
Well, a lot of people did that last night, fading Waka and going with Lively, and that didn't work out all that well, did it? I did not like the spot for the Guardians last night coming out of that series against Baltimore, which was crazy. They burned the bullpen out in each of those games over the weekend against Baltimore. And it ended up the bullpen didn't come into play that much yesterday, but neither did the bats here. I would look towards the Guardians to bounce here, but I think, Donnie, the best way to look at this, because Marsh has been getting lit up too, is give me the over. It's Kauffman Stadium on a hot, humid 90-degree night there. The ball is going to be flying out, I think. I would look towards a Cleveland Guardians team total over in this one here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you at that instance. And also, it does get hot and heavy out there at Kauffman at times. We'll see if that plays into tonight. Two pitchers that certainly are hittable. Let's go to another game. Maybe the direct opposite here. T-Mobile up in Seattle. Not a place where everybody goes like, hey, man, let me get some runs up there. Why? We just take a look at a game that's 9.5. This game, sevens across the board. That is Minnesota and Seattle. And from a team where the Twins yesterday couldn't get enough of the plate down in the desert, you're going to a different ballpark against a different pitcher here. The favorite in this game, open up overnight for Seattle at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -118 price. That now sits, Joe, at a -126, so still comparable numbers. If we're looking at both of these pitchers, Gilbert today comes in with a 3.46 xFIP number over the past 60 days. That's very good. And by the way, Bailey Ober, if you haven't heard his name around a lot, he's been solid here. ERA over the past 60 days, a little bit high, but his xFIP number is at a 3.79, one of the true pitcher's ballparks in Major League Baseball. Who has the advantage? And also, is this game going to stay under seven, maybe?
Yeah, well, I mean, what, Logan Gilbert on the hill, and you had mentioned it. I don't think he's allowed over a run in the last, 16 innings that he has thrown here, and you talked about over getting it good. And I'll give you another fun fact in this one here. Do you know the Major League Baseball team that has the lowest strikeout rate since June 1st? It's the Minnesota Twins. So then there's a lot of guys in this Twins lineup that have good career numbers against Logan Gilbert. So I know the easiest, give me Logan Gilbert. Minnesota, they were off yesterday. Bullpen is rested. But this Twins lineup is capable of getting to Logan Gilbert. And if it gets to anything lower, Donnie, what is it, seven now? Yeah, I would look over. Believe it or not, I would look over here and think maybe we get a few more runs. I think that number is a little too low.
And it's so hard, like even in the past, let's go back 10 years before we were putting a ghost runner basically on second base. You look at the seven and go, okay, if we go to extras, Joe, at 2-2, you should be fine. You go to extras now, 2-2, you're supposed to score a run in each one of your half innings here. That's why, you know, it's two ground outs at that point. Move them to third, get them in here. That turns into 3-3, and you already lost your total. So when those totals are so low now with the ghost runner, it gives you those added advantages of that backboard that you have if it does get to extra innings. How about this one? Texas and Baltimore today, 7:05 start from the Charm City, and that'll be at Camden Yards. Scherzer on the mound, who looked decent in his last start, going up against Suarez, the favorite here. Take a look at these numbers. Overnight, FanDuel had a minus 154 price on the Baltimore Orioles. That number now, a minus 138 live, and a total of 8.5 across the board. Sooner than later, Texas is going to have to show up. I like what I'm seeing out of Baltimore now after that little bit of a lull. Are we trusting Scherzer on the road at this price point?
Scherzer, it reminds me of what we saw with Garrett Cole, right? A guy that has not pitched at all. He's got one start under. We saw Cole do this his second time out, right? Against who? The Baltimore Orioles. What'd they do? They hit four home runs off him because he wasn't locating the pitches. Scherzer's the same mold there. Scherzer had one start. This will be his second start off an Orioles lineup that will make him pay for every mistake he throws. Is he any better than Garrett Cole at this point? The answer is no, he's not. So advantage Orioles, but I do think the Rangers will be feisty after getting blown out last night. To me, this is another over, Donnie, and a warm, humid night at Camden Yards. One of these teams is getting 8 or 9 runs here. Take your pick. I think the over is the way to look.
All right, want to get fired up on this? A team that loves its overs over the past week and a half to 2 weeks. That's the New York Mets, because Grimace is back in town tonight. It's Houston versus New York. A total that's listed at 8.5. A slight favorite, however, for Blanco and the Houston Astros at a minus 116 price. Both of these teams actually coming in good form here. Who wins out? Stros, Mets.
Yeah, I mean, Quintana on the mound has actually been pretty good as of late, which is kind of scary here. But 15-6 since June 1st is what the Mets are. 15-7 since June 1st is what the Astros are. Two guys that have had some success. Having said that, yeah, sorry, Grimace. I'm going with Houston in this one here, Don.
To bring out the bats here. And by the way, I did appreciate it in that Subway Series where the Mets were handling their business. If anybody saw those highlights, which I'm sure a lot of people did, not actually on the field. The rain was coming down. The fans were enjoying themselves. I even saw one guy, you know, being in that waterfall effect from the second deck, drinking a beer while getting lambasted with a ton of water. But also out there, Grimace in a horrible-looking costume, which I kind of respect. You're like, if the official Grimace was in the building, that's one thing. But the fans making up Grimace costumes and wearing them to Citi Field, that's tremendous stuff. We'll see if they can beat the Houston Astros tonight. But much, much more baseball to talk about here as we're in hour number three. Man, our job is to get you ready for tonight. It's a lot of action and a lot of games to go over. Joe and Donnie, we'll have it once again next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full Major League Baseball slate tonight, and that starts also up in Boston. That's going to be San Diego taking on the Boston Red Sox. Vasquez versus Pivetta. One of the teams, though, Joe, that I've been watching for the past month now, I like the setup on what we have for Boston. This was a team that we didn't anticipate to compete. And when I say that, 500 record or better, maybe so. Making the playoffs, Boston really wasn't presenting themselves that way, and maybe even the worst team in the division in the AL East. I like a lot of their young players, but today, they're the favorites. Pivetta actually opened up overnight, minus 154 price. We go live right now to FanDuel. It's still a minus 154 price, bouncing back and forth. A total listed at 9.5. Vasquez can be had, but do you trust Boston now that they're priced around that minus 150 or higher market range?
Listen, the Padres had a very successful homestand, right? 6-1, I think they went. The Red Sox just took 3 of 4, but they've won 8 of their last 10. And it's the way the Red Sox, Donnie, are winning games. That is impressive. And what I mean by that is they are absolutely not a long ball or not team. This is a team that manufactures runs. They steal bases. They play small ball. They push guys over. And Boston is a Fenway is a notorious over par. It's a hitter's ballpark here. And yet Boston is doing it via small ball and a good, good bullpen here. I think it's a fascinating matchup, but I trust the Boston bats more than I trust the Padres bats on the road here. So I think Boston is the right side here. I wouldn't even be opposed to lay the run and a half with Boston here because I think this first one gets out of hand.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Looking for 10-plus runs in that game to cash in a ticket for the total. One of those guys you know probably in that equation is Rafael Devers, but a lot of good left-handed bats in the lineup today, and certainly they've been performing over the past month. Let's take a look and go down to Tampa in the Trop. It's going to be the Washington Nationals taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, 6:50 p.m. tonight. Favorite opened up around that 150 price. We're looking live. It's minus 156 now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but a total that opened up at 7 has actually risen a half of a run up to 7.5. Parker, not a lot of statistics here for the left-handed pitcher for the Nationals, Zach Eflin here. We do know he's a veteran guy at home this year. 31 innings pitched, a 2.90 ERA. It does get elevated a little bit with his xFIP number of 4.14, but a minus 150 plus price for Tampa Bay. Are we buying or selling on that one today, Joe?
Well, I mean, give Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays a thumbs up here, Donnie. Look over the last couple of weeks in the month of June, what this Tampa team has been able to do. I mean, they have turned it around, and mostly not because they have a great bullpen or because the starting pitching has been lights out. They're doing it because the bats have finally woken up. 7 of their last 10, they've won, and they're doing that because the hits are starting to come, especially at home here. I like both of these starting pitchers, although Washington has proved to be pesky. Call me crazy. I think this is a candidate for an under here tonight. 7.5. I think Parker and Eflin limit the big hits here, limit the long balls. Not a great hitter's ballpark, Donnie. You know this. So I think maybe an under is not a bad way to look.
And you know when the Nationals come to town, boy, those Tampa fans are going to show up to make sure they have that home field advantage taking place. We'll see what those numbers look like. What's going to be higher, 7.5 as a total or 7.5 as a total fans in the building? But let's get over here. New York and Toronto. Can the Yankees start their winning ways? Marcus Stroman's going to be on the mound today. They actually opened up, Joe, did you know? Minus 126, as a favorite against Toronto. That has now shifted basically almost to a de facto pick 'em as we take a look at live. Anyway, between minus 115 to minus 117, a total listed at 8.5. Here's the issue. Marcus Stroman splits on the road. Take a look at this, Joe. 45 1/3 innings pitched here. He's got an ERA on the road of 2.18, but his xFIP number is a 5.32. Can we trust Marcus Stroman on the road against Toronto in this game tonight? And quite frankly, can you trust the Yankees at this point?
Well, it's tough because I don't think Stroman has anything to do with this. Can the Yankees score more than 2 runs? That's the bottom line here. Because they've been outscored the last 36 to 5 or something. It's been totally obnoxious here. So if you think the Yankees bat and Kikuchi has gotten banged around here a little bit, giving up a few runs in his last time out, but honestly, I don't think Stroman is the key to this. It's the Yankees' bats. Having said that, I think Toronto's still the right side here at home. I think they found something last night in that game, and maybe their luck is going to turn around here.
Yeah, Yanks are in a bad way right now, and you know that heavy public support's going to come in. Like, you say Kikuchi, and you're right about that. By the way, Kikuchi started this season for Toronto like he was trying to enter into the Cy Young race. Yep. It's been a little bit rough going, but if there is a chance tonight in a smaller ballpark to get going, maybe it is going to be the Yankees. Do we think we put a bow in that NHL season? We've got a lot more hot topics to talk about. Pete Jensen joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
hopefully we get the ICE advice in just a matter of moments here. But sometimes we just get some of this stuff and some of these topics that we just got to double down on. And we were talking about the New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays here. High expectations for both of these teams coming into the season. We'll see if the Yankees, who have a very good record right now, can get out of that malaise, and maybe that does start tonight. But the AL East, we knew it was going to be tough. And I talked about the Boston Red Sox just a few short minutes ago, saying, well, the expectations coming out of camp here were not very good. Once spring training ended, we thought they might be the doormat here, and certainly no chance to make the playoffs, and saying, okay, you're going to rebuild your farm system. But you can't do that with the Boston Red Sox. You have a big market here that you're expected to spend big dollars to counterbalance the Yankees and Toronto on a year-to-year basis, and now the Baltimore Orioles. But let's take a look at the AL East odds right now to win it, and still rightfully so. It's the Yankees at a minus 230 price. You see the Orioles at a plus 165, and then 75-1 on the Boston Red Sox. So essentially, it probably is going to come down to a two-team race. How are we feeling now? Because the thing about baseball, which yesterday, for me, loving the Philadelphia Phillies, I'm not feeling so good about them today. The New York Yankees, a week and a half ago, one of the better teams in Major League Baseball, struggling a bit now. Let's start with the Yankees here. What's the feeling on the Yankees for you and how we're looking right around midsummer-ish?
Again, blip on the radar at this point in the season to have 50 some odd wins, be up at the top of their, you know, 53-31. I think the Yankees are going to be buyers. I think Baltimore are going to be buyers here because both of these teams have had great starts to the season, Donnie, but they both have giant warts that need to be addressed here. So I do think the Yankees, as much as they say they don't want to spend money, I think they will spend some money here when it comes time in order to be able to improve that staff. And that's really, that's the one thing immediately with a trade that they will be able to do and sign a couple of guys that will help that bullpen at the very least.
All right, we're going to talk much, much more Major League Baseball in the final half hour of this show, but we got to get to some hot topics out here, and that includes Pete Jensen from the NHL going to join us here. Big doings in the NHL market. How have you been enjoying yourself right now, Pete, knowing that the NHL season is done, but also there's no rest for the weary here?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, absolutely not. This is such a tight timeline, right, between the Cup final ending on Monday and Game 7. In pretty epic fashion, big congrats to the Florida Panthers on not falling apart completely and getting the job done there in front of the home crowd. But yeah, now we're at right Thursday, Friday, Saturday, awards, draft, and draft day two. So a lot of intrigue starting at number two, but great to be on with you guys.
Good stuff, Pete. And by the way, if anybody sees his background now and is envious here, Pete's waking up early with it. Typically, he's in the New York market with us. Now he's out on the West Coast. And also, tell us why you're out on the West Coast and what's going down at the Sphere.
Yeah, so the NHL draft is big doings for sure. Is going to be at the Sphere tonight, Friday night, prime time, right? It's going to be really fun. It's the first ever sporting event and live broadcast from the Sphere in its history. Very unique building. Have yet to be inside, but I'll be inside in a few hours. And I think everybody expects Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks to go number one. Seems relatively locked in considering his family's from the Bay Area and his father works for the Warriors. So great storyline there for the projected number one pick.
Well, you mentioned it, Pete. The consensus, finally, unlike the NBA draft, the consensus for the number one, we're all on the same page. But what happens at number two now with Chicago? What did they need? Where do you think they're going to go? And will it move the needle one way or the other for this franchise?
Right. So you remember Chicago got Connor Bedard in the draft last year, of course, the generational number one center. He won the Calder Trophy. He delivered. I think they need to shift the focus to defense, and what a great draft to be able to do so, where you could make a case for six different guys at the defenseman position to go in the top 10 of this draft. Maybe it'll be in the top 11. The Sharks actually traded up for the number 11 pick from 14, so really interesting there. Maybe they could nab one of these defensemen, including Carter Yakemchuk, who scored 30 goals as a defenseman in the WHL last year. So that's really good stuff. The Sharks maybe could double up there on him. But yeah, the big debate here is like, Artem Levshinov from Michigan State. I compare him a lot to Ziv Buyum from Denver, both freshman defensemen in the NCAA, Michigan State this year. Michigan State's been terrible in college hockey for so many years, but they burst onto the scene, and Levshinov was a huge reason why. But, like, to me, I don't know. I'd rather probably be back a couple of spots or maybe even take a bold call on Ziv Buyum from Denver. About the same size, actually was better than a point per game last year in the NCAA, and Denver won the national championship, whereas Michigan State and Levshinov, about the same age, but he was fewer than a point per game. So Levshinov's projected to go at number two by most outlets, including NHL.com. But I wonder if that's going to be a comparison between Levshinov and Ziv Buyum for the years to come. And maybe the team that gets Buyum a couple of picks later might win out.
Now, Pete, we can have some fun here this episode and just say, you know what, let's have some fun and talk about Matvei Michkov, because that's where everybody wants to talk about how many Stanley Cups he is going to bring for the Flyers. For myself, I hope he's a generational talent. The correlation to this draft is, do we believe Macklin Celebrini, who's 18 years old and a center from Boston University, is a generational type talent? Like, what do we expect out of him even coming into the league early in his career?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's like somewhere behind Bedard probably, but maybe not by too much. You got some great Boston connections for the Sharks team. The GM, Mike Greer, played at the same prep school as their other young center stud, Will Smith. And Will Smith went to Boston College, and now Celebrini won the Hobie Baker for top player in college hockey as the youngest player in the NCAA this past year for Boston University. So BU has the connection with him and GM Mike Greer, and the other guys know each other from, you know, playing in the same division and being from the U.S. So it's really, you know, playing in the U.S. as youngsters, I should say. So it's a really good situation for the Sharks to be in as they finally tore it down. You know, like, there were so many years where they refused to rebuild. Now they tore it down, and in just 1 year, 2 years, you find yourself with two top five picks at the center position that you could build your franchise around. You know, they hope that someday it could be, you know, like a Crosby Malkin type thing, and maybe they're winning championships and getting over the hump down the road 4, 5, 6 years from now.
So we've seen some craziness over the last couple of drafts here. Are you expecting this to be business as usual, chalk across the board? Are you expecting there's going to be one or two surprises hitting the board there at the top of it?
I think there could very well be a surprise at number two. I mean, we've seen it a couple of years ago. Everybody thought Shane Wright would be number one, and he dropped to number four up in Montreal when Montreal had the first pick and they took Slavkovsky. And then even last year, like, most people, when we were talking to the prospects before the draft last year, after Bedard, people expected Adam Fantilli at number two. Instead, he fell to number three, and Leo Carlson ended up being an absolute stud for the Anaheim Ducks, and he was taken at number two by surprise last year. So we have seen a lot of drama and randomness despite the prospect rankings and central scouting and NHL.com and all the experts out there. It really only boils down to what that particular team wants and what they've seen in the prospects. So, yes, I would expect a surprise, maybe even at number two.
Absolutely. And that's the surprise that we're going to have is Pete Jensen. We're going to keep him around for another segment here because there was an award ceremony yesterday with some great players, got the hardware. I want to ask Pete about that, but also more importantly, how this is going to project to next year and some of the odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to lift Lord Stanley's Cup. We just had somebody lift Lord Stanley's Cup, and it was the Florida Panthers. When are we going to see a team from Canada? It's Pete Jensen from the NHL with another segment. Don't you go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Getting the ice advice here from Pete Jensen of the NHL, and he's in town in Las Vegas. A lot of big doings there. Award ceremonies, draft, it's all going down. And we want to take a minute here to take a look at what actually happened with the awards last night. Nathan MacKinnon, the Hart Trophy here, picks up the W for the MVP. Are we in agreement here, Pete, that he's deserving of the Hart Trophy yesterday as the NHL's best player?
This was one of the craziest races that I could remember. I mean, yeah. Even left out of the top three was Austin Matthews, who had 69 goals, the most in the NHL in quite some time. So, I mean, pretty insane right there. If you look at the depth of this class for MVP, McDavid obviously won playoff MVP, and he was in the top three. But I think it was going to be down to debating Kucherov versus MacKinnon all along. MacKinnon had a career year. He was one of those guys in fantasy and stuff. We always knew that if he stayed healthy for a full season, that he could rival the likes of Kucherov and McDavid in terms of really, you know, getting into the 120s, 130s in points, that type of thing. So I'm not surprised that he won it. It's interesting, though, like with Kucherov, like he won it before. We all remember at the All-Star game, he kind of had that like lackluster effort. Mm-hmm. It comes down to the votes. So maybe that broke the tie for some people. I didn't have a vote. If I did, I would have voted MacKinnon by a very slight margin, though.
And there will be some that say it's about time because he probably should have one, if not two, of those trophies in a couple of years past there. But what did you think about Hellebuyck winning best, the Vezina winning best goalie? Was that closer in your mind than how it turned out to be?
I figured he would probably win it because Thatcher Demko got injured late in the season and, you know, that maybe broke the tie for some people. One thing, though, about Vancouver, I mean, look at the season they had after missing the playoffs the past couple of years, just to give him some love, like with Quinn Hughes winning the Norris and Rick Tocchet winning the Jack Adams and Thatcher Demko being deserving for sure, but coming in second in the Vezina race. And them also going to game seven against the Oilers without Thatcher Demko and nearly beating them. So, I mean, that's crazy when you think about how far they've come in the past year, the Vancouver Canucks. Now we'll see if they fall into that, like, you know, New Jersey Devils type profile where they overachieve 1 year and then everybody has them on the radar the next year. So I'm not so sold on them to replicate what they did, but they got a lot of talent up there in Vancouver, but... it's interesting with Hellebuyck, like he deserved the Vezina here, but in the playoffs, man, he looked rocky, right, against the Colorado Avalanche with all those 5-plus goal games allowed. But again, it's a regular season award here. He deserved it.
Exactly. Rookie was Connor Bedard. No surprise there. Also, take a look at some other awards that were given out. The Norris Trophy to Quinn Hughes as the best defender. And as Pete brought up there, Rick Tocchet, best coach in the NFL, taking home the Jack Adams. Now, we do have the draft coming up. We do have free agency coming up, which is going to change a lot of these rosters in the NHL. But let's take a look at some of those 2025 Stanley Cup options here. Three teams at a 9-1 price next year. That's the Hurricanes, the Avalanche, and the Panthers. Heading into free agency and the draft, what are our feelings next year on who has a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup, Pete?
So many teams are close. Dallas is super close, and they have a lot of young blood that's going to continue to get better from Wyatt Johnston, breakout season and postseason, Logan Stankoven, Maverick Bork. So there's a lot of appeal for Dallas, even though they've fallen short. Seems like Dallas, right, almost every year since COVID is getting to the conference final or cup final. So don't count them out for sure. Interesting that the Devils are back in the conversation after acquiring Jacob Markstrom. They finally have an elite level goalie. So that's something to look at with the bounce back appeal of the New Jersey Devils. Also Edmonton, like the big elephant in the room, right, is like, Leon Draisaitl's entering his contract year. The following year, Connor McDavid's going to be entering his contract year. Is this the last couple of runs at the Cup for this group? It could very well be. Really interested to see, you know, again, don't pull the trigger on Edmonton just yet. Let's see what they do in the offseason, who they might lose. They were playing through a lot of injuries, and they still got to Game 7 of the Cup final. So I would lean toward that team in Edmonton where it's kind of like, you know, you learn how to win by falling short these past years. 2 years ago, they lost to the eventual cup champs in the Golden Knights in the second round. This year, they lost to the Panthers. Maybe Edmonton and McDavid. And Draisaitl, if he sticks around, he probably needs to stick around for me to pick them to win the Cup this coming year.
So let me ask you, Pete. Last year, I know a lot of guys that got burned with Ottawa, thinking they were going to be that team, that dark horse, and then they finished 31st in goaltending. Well, they they ended up addressing that in a trade with Ullmark now. So where is Ottawa on your radar?
They're in that same range with the Sabres and the Red Wings, but maybe accelerated a little bit. And I'm talking about non-playoff teams with some youthful upside and chance to make the playoffs one of these years. Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle are two of the best forwards in the entire NHL, especially Tkachuk. I'd love to see that kid, especially after his brother won the Cup. He's never played a playoff game in the NHL. We need to see Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs at some point soon. Physical force right there. But Ullmark is a huge upgrade for the Senators. I'm tossing and turning between the Senators and the Sabres as for which one I'll have making the playoffs this coming year. The Sabres got Lindy Ruff back. They have probably a little bit more young talent. But let's see how the Ottawa defense shakes up this offseason. That was a weak link. They got to re-sign Jacob Chychrun, or maybe if he's gone, I won't like Ottawa as much. So I still put Ottawa on the fringe. I probably like Buffalo at this point in time a little bit more to get over the hump and make the playoffs next year.
Pete, about 30 seconds left in this segment. I know free agency is coming up. Is there a top free agent in the NHL that should be sought after that we should watch out for?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Steven Stamkos. I mean, Tampa Bay's cap situation for years after winning multiple cups has been a logjam. So it sounds like he might not be back, but you never know. They could always pull a surprise and make room for him or pull a trade or something like that. But it seems like Steven Stamkos, one of the best players of this generation, could hit the open market on July 1st, which would be wild.
Pete's doing it all from East Coast to West Coast, covering it for the NHL Network here. Thanks for joining us, Pete. Really appreciate it. We'll be right back for Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, just got the ice advice there from Pete Jensen out there on the West Coast for the NHL covering the draft from the Sphere. You also had a award ceremony last night getting the drop on next year's information or who could possibly win the Stanley Cup. Good times had all around, but let's get back to Major League Baseball. A lot more games, which includes a West Coast tilt, 10:15 p.m. tonight. That's going to be the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Knack versus Webb, 7.5 total. That's actually up from overnight here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That was listed at a 7. De facto pick 'em, minus 110, minus 106. Dodgers, Giants, rivals. Who gets it done tonight? Joe Ranieri.
Well, the San Francisco Giants have not won a series against the Dodgers since, I think, 2021, Donnie. But this might be their best shot to get off to a good start with their ace, Logan Webb, going up against the Dodgers, who are introducing their rookie right-handed pitcher, Lendon Knack, here tonight. I thought San Francisco played really well over the weekend against the Cubs. They let one get away there last night. But I still think the Dodgers are trying to figure some things out here without life after Mookie Betts. So I do think if they're going to win one, this is the game that you want to back the Giants here tonight in order to get done going up against the rookie pitcher for the Dodgers.
Yeah, let's get to this next one, which this is a very interesting handicap because this roster is not going to look nearly what it was last night. We're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. So if we're looking from a Marlins perspective, how about this? The overnight line, let's just say nobody got hurt for the Phillies. Schwarber, Harper, they're all going to be in the lineup today. That was a minus 310 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's down to minus 230, which still seems a lot. You see the graphic as it's coming down from that 240 price, a total of 8.5. For a game that Sanchez has been very good on the season, and by the way, a 2.62 ERA over the past 60 days and a 3.18 xFIP, which is tremendous. But how do you approach a game like this knowing that Phillies lineup might look like a triple A lineup tonight and still laying over a 230, 240 price?
Well, you can't, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, that's too much change too quickly here for that team. And give the Marlins credit, right? They are feisty. Mm-hmm. They're not a very good team. But I don't think Philadelphia thought they'd wake up today losing last night and also having a million question marks about who in the heck is going to be in the lineup here tonight. So they are still have the pitching advantage with Sanchez. So if I'm looking at anything, I'm probably looking to back Philadelphia early, maybe in a first five here to have a lead heading into the sixth.
It's such a good point you bring up because, again, price points are going to change. We understand that. A lot of good players won't be in the lineup for the Philadelphia Phillies, but it's still the Marlins and still on the road at this point. So even that, you know, sharp handicapper is like, you know what? Everybody's probably saying, I can't take the Phillies. I got to take the Marlins at this price. Sometimes, Joe, as we say, we know how this game is going to play out. So at this point now, there's a couple more games on the card, but we like to give the people something to chew on tonight. Yesterday, my RBI prop didn't cash in because my Atlanta Braves didn't score a single run yesterday. Hopefully that changes today. But Joe Ranieri tonight, Major League Baseball landscape, where are we going for a best bet? You have one for the people out here.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that Bay Area. I am going to go to the Giants, who I think this game means a lot more to them. They know the history. They have not been great against the Dodgers, but I think timing is everything. I think having Webb on the mound here tonight up against the Dodgers, he knows them very well, and the rookie coming to the mound in not exactly an easy place to play there. The Giant fans will be in full force. So will the Dodger fans. I think the edge at a really good price goes to the Giants in this one.
If I'm taking a look at this Major League Baseball card today, and again, I like to take a look at pitcher statistics here, generally from a 60-day window. Don't care what you did at the late parts of March or early parts of April. What are you doing for me now? The bottom three cards on my pitcher today with xFIPs above 5 over the past 60 days, regardless of where they pitch, Joe, home or away. Those three pitchers, Marcus Stroman, Dakota Hudson, and J.P. Sears. That's the Yankees, that's the Rockies, and that's the Oakland Athletics. So if I'm looking today and saying, you know, Kikuchi did have an unbelievable start to the season, struggling a little bit as of late, I see that 8.5 and say sooner or later those bats, yes, will start get going for the New York Yankees. But at the same time, I take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays here and say they'll be able to hit Stroman. Even though I told you his road split, he's got a very good ERA, that extra high X, which means fly balls will be in the air. Maybe George Springer woke up yesterday. Maybe Vladimir Guerrero was like, hey, before you trade me, let me get some extra RBI before I'm out of town. I think we get a total going over that 8.5 number between the Yankees and the Blue Jays starting at 7:08 up in the six. But that'll do it for today's show and this week here on the early line. Joe, I mean, how are we feeling, Joe? We made it through. What do you have, three more shows today? What's going on?
I thought, well, I'll be back for Game Time Decisions tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern here on the grid.
Ah, Joe Ranieri, the hardest man working at the Sports Grid Network. Thanks for tuning in. For Joe Conn and the rest of the cast behind the scenes, we'll see you guys Monday for another edition of the early line.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.